The Lord of all lords is in this place tonight. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We honor you, God. God, we give you our glory, God, our honor, our praise, Lord. There's no one like you, Jesus. All stand. Just a few hours ago, I was over at Dean Urgent Care in excruciating pain. Never had so much pain inside my head. It's been going on off and on since Friday, and yesterday it got worse, and this morning I'm like, I'm going to church and I'm preaching tonight. I'm not going to let any sickness, I'm not going to let any affliction, and I just got to where I just couldn't stand the pain, and I'm like, Lord, I hate to do this, I hate to go over there, but I don't know what else to do, and Brother Andrew Cohn and Brother Thomas prayed for me, and my wife, we left early, got over there, and it hurt so bad, I was in the back hallway. Down at the stairwell so nobody could see me, just pushing on my head so hard. That was the only way I could get relief. I've never felt anything like this before. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, you can heal my knee. You can heal my acid reflux. Why can't you heal this? And I struggled. My wife will tell you, I struggled. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I'm preaching tonight. That's the bottom line. And not because of pride or arrogance. I just don't like the enemy pushing me around. And I went into the doctor's office, and the nurse takes all your vital signs. And while I was sitting there, she left, and it's just like, boom. It's like somebody just pulled the plug into pain. I could just like feel it, just like drain. Not trying to be sensationalist here. I mean, I didn't do it. The doctor came in, and I tried to explain to him what had happened, and he said, well, you've got a really plugged up saliva glands in the back of your neck here, between your cheek and your ear. And you can get a kidney stone, you can get a saliva stone. I'd never heard of that, ever. Have I ever heard of that? And here it's got to happen to me, you know. He prescribed me some medicine. I went home and I laid down and tried to take a nap. I didn't sleep, but I rested. And I got up, came over to church, and finished putting this message together. I just couldn't do it on Saturday night. I was so much pain. I'm like, I can't even focus and concentrate. But the title of the message just kind of sums up everything that's been said here tonight. And the title of this message is, There's Nobody Like You, Jesus. There's nobody like my Jesus. If you've never personally met Jesus Christ tonight, He's here. He's here. That's what you feel. You wonder why people act the way they act? It's because we've been delivered from all sorts of things. I want you to turn tonight to Philippians 2. We're going to read 9 through 11. It says, "Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That is, in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." What that verse is telling me, that every knee shall bow that is in heaven, every knee shall bow that is on the earth, and every knee shall bow that is under the earth. That means the angels bow in his presence. That means we bow in his presence. And that means Satan and the demonic powers that are under the earth have to bow at his presence. Because he is Jesus, a name above all names. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you imagine Satan is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? To the glory of God the Father. And you may be seated. I want you to preach with me tonight because I am pumped up. I've got my water, Joe, because I quit drinking Coca-Cola. It's been a rough week. I just quit cold turkey. I said, if I'm going to do this, there's only one way to do it. After right here and right now, I got my goal is I'm going to lose down to 180 pounds by my birthday, and I got to lose 1.5 pounds a week. That's not a whole lot. And I know I got to consume more than that in Coca-Cola. So there's nobody like you, Jesus. You can travel wherever you desire in the world. You can travel all over the Pacific, all over the Atlantic, from east to west and north to south. And you can investigate all the various religions of the world. And at the end of all of your travels and at the end of all of your investigations, you will conclude and come to the conclusion that everywhere you go, somebody worships some sort of a god somewhere, someplace in time. You can go to the Middle East and you can find out that there's the Muslim religion. It's one of the fastest growing religions in the world. And it's spreading all over the world. And you find out that they worship their prophet Muhammad. But you know, Muhammad, never one time did he ever claim to be God. And if you go over into the Middle East, one of the wonders of the world, they say today, you can take and you can visit the tomb of the prophet Muhammad. You can ask the world's 1.2 billion Muslims, and they will tell you that Muhammad is dead. You look at Hinduism. Hinduism really doesn't have any recognized founder. There are a group of individuals that, assorted individuals, Sri Adda and Shankara, that founded the Hindu religion and Hinduism, and there's over 900 million Hindus in the world. Those men that founded this religion, they lived and they died. It's over with. Their bones have rotted. Their flesh has rotted, and they're nothing but a pile of dust somewhere in the bottom of a box over in the Middle East. They lived and they died. Buddha, he lived and he died. You can ask the world's 350 million Buddhists, and they can take you to the tomb of Buddha and show you this is where he is. But you can take and you can ask the some 2 billion followers of the around the world that's worship the name of Jesus Christ, and they cannot take you to the tomb and where he died, because he did not die, or he did die, but 3 days later he rose again. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, that before Abraham was, I am." When it comes to the name of Jesus, there's no other name that is more powerful than the name of Jesus. He lived and he died and he rose again on the third day. The third day he rose and he defeated death. He defeated hell and he defeated the grave. He did exactly what he said he would do, and the world has never, ever been the same. Mankind has never been the same. He's the higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's mightier than the mightiest and lovelier than the loveliest. He always was, he always is, and he will always be. He is unmovable, he is unchangeable, and he is undefeatable. He says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to hell, death, and the grave." There's no God like the God we serve. We can read in Revelations 19:16 that he says he's more than a king. He is the King of Kings. He's more than just the Lord that lived in the Middle Ages. He's the Lord of Lords. There's nobody like Jesus. And there's no other name under heaven given among all men whereby we must be saved. We read in Philippians 2:9 that all of heaven bows at the reverence of that name. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That means every false prophet. I'm sorry if you're here and you're Muslim or you're Buddhist or whatever denomination or religion that you are, but every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. That means every false prophet, every religious leader, every atheist, they're having a big atheist shindig gonna happen out there in Washington, and they're expecting thousands and thousands of atheists to come and proclaim their atheism. But one day, every last one of them is going to bow at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, "You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Hebrews 1:4 tells me that being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We receive his name in baptism. We receive his name in salvation. Jesus, who was born in a manger, walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, was crucified, and 3 days later rose again victoriously. He then walked on the earth for another 40 plus days and was taken up into a cloud. You see, Jesus didn't need his own tomb, because the reason he didn't need it, because death to him was just a temporary position. He said in John 2:19, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." When he returns a second time, it's not going to be like the first time. Jesus Christ is coming again. When he left, he says, "I'm going away, but I'm going to come back. I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you." And I think it's so awesome that Jesus Christ created everything that is in this world in 6 days, but it's taken him 2,000 plus years to build our homes. Did you ever think of that? How much time and effort he's putting in to his church, those that take on the name of Jesus. When he returns a second time, it's not going to be like the first time. The first time he came to die. The second time when he comes, he will raise the dead. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye that we will rise to meet him, and those that are dead in Christ shall rise first to meet him in the heavens. And when he comes the second time, the first time he came in meekness, and the second time he's going to come in all of his majesty and all of his glory. When he came the first time, he received a crown of thorns on his head. But when he comes the second time, he will have a crown of gold and righteousness and on his head. He came the first time. He came into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday riding on a donkey. But the second time he comes, he's going to be riding on a magnificent great white horse. There's nobody like my Jesus. The first time he came as a lamb led to the slaughter. But the second time, he's going to come as a lion. Tonight you can take and you can say, "Jesus is literally everything in my life from A to Z." Now, we have a store here in town that's called A to Z. It's a rental store over on South Stoughton Road. I've gone over there and I've rented things, and they say, "We have everything you would ever want from A to Z." Well, I'm going to show you here in a few moments that Jesus Christ is everything you'll ever want from A to Z. You see, when he says that I'm Alpha and Omega, that's Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last. So he's basically saying, I'm everything from A to Z. I'm everything in between. John the Revelator was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he was moved by the Holy Spirit and began to pen these words. We read it in Revelation 1:8. He declares that I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which is and which was and which is to come. A, he's an almighty God. B, he's a blessed God. Psalm 66:20 says, he will not turn away my prayers. He's a caring God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He's a delivering God. Many of the afflictions in righteousness, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In Psalms 34:19, he's an eternal God. He's my faithful God. He's a great God. In Titus 2:13, he's a holy God. In First Peter 1:16, he's an inspired God. In Job 3:28, he's a jealous God. In Exodus 20:4-5, when he says, thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the things that are beneath or what is in the water under the earth, and we're to worship one God. He's a jealous God. He's a keeping God. He says, keeping me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. He's a loving God. He knoweth not God, for God is love. John 4:8. Mighty is he, a mighty God, for unto us is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. He's a near God. He's not very far from any one of us. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Do you have problems in your life overcoming? I have a God that says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame. I am set down at my Father and his throne. Revelation 3:21. He's a performing God, being confident of this very thing, that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. He's a quickening God. He's a reigning God. He's a sovereign God. I am the Lord God, and there's none else. There's no God besides me. I girded thee not. Thou hast not known me. Isaiah 45:5. He's a true God, but the Lord God is true, and he is a living God and an everlasting King, and the wrath of the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to hide his indignation. And Jeremiah 10:10. He's an unlimited God. And Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men all, this is impossible. With God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. He's a very God, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We can go all the way through and finish. He's a working God. He is a God that has x-ray vision. He's got x-ray vision for the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the earth. 2 Chronicles 16:9. He's a yielding God. We read the story of Joshua fighting against the Amalekites and how that the sun, or the Amorites, and how that the sun was beginning to set. And Joshua said, Lord, if you can just hold the sun in the sky for just a few more hours so we can defeat the enemy, if you can just do that for me. And God took the whole universe, and he yielded his power, and he yielded all of his majesty to the prayers of one man, one servant. How much more does the Lord God love you and me? He's a jealous God. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. John 2:17. He's the first and the last. He is, was, and forever will be. There was nobody before him, and there will be nobody after him. Jesus declared himself to the religious leaders of the day in John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Jewish leaders of that day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of the other Yeses, said, you're not even 50 years old. How can you sit there and tell us that before Abraham was, you were? You see, the Jews didn't understand that Jesus' life did not begin when he was born in the Bethlehem of Judea, for he was God manifest in the flesh. He was from the beginning of time. John 1:1-14 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word was made flesh, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us. There's nobody like my Jesus. But see, you just don't find Jesus in the New Testament. You find him both in the Old and the New Testament. You can go in and you can look in the Old Testament scriptures, and we can read in Genesis, and the book of Genesis, he was a seed of the woman. In the book of Exodus, he was a Passover lamb. The book of Leviticus, he was the high priest. In Numbers, he was a pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and he was water from the rock. In Deuteronomy, he was the like unto the prophet, unto Moses. In Joshua, he was the captain of our salvation. And Judge, he's a judge and a lawgiver. And Ruth, he's the redeemer, the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's a prophet of the Lord. 1 and 2 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, he's a faithful scribe. And Nehemiah, he's a rebuilder of broken lives. You need to fix your life tonight? Read about it in the book of Nehemiah. And Esther, he's our Mordecai. And Job, he's an everlasting redeemer. And Psalms, he's a great shepherd. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, we see him as a wisdom. And Song of Solomon, he's the lover and the bridegroom. And as Isaiah, he's our prince of peace. And Jeremiah, we see him as righteousness. And Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. He's a wonderful and four-faced man. And Ezekiel and Daniel, he's the fourth man and the fire. And Hosea, he's a forever faithful husband. Joel, he's the Lord that utters his voice before his army. Amos, he's a burden bearer. Obadiah, he's the one that is mighty to save. Jonah, he's a forgiving missionary. And Micah, he's a messenger with beautiful feet. And in Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. You can go all the way through the entire Old Testament and weave your way into the New Testament. And Jesus Christ is in every single book of the Bible. You can go on and finish through the Old Testament. And you can go on into the New Testament. And Matthew, he's the Messiah. And Mark, he's a wonder worker. And Luke, we see him as a son of man. And John sees him as a son of God. And you can go all the way through the New Testament, all the way to Revelation, where we find him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm here to tell you tonight and proclaim to you tonight that of all the people in all the world, there is no one that will be to you like Jesus will be to you. We look in the Old Testament and we see him as Jesus veiled, but in the New Testament, that veil comes off and he's Jesus unveiled. In the Old Testament, we see him wrapped up and a bit of covered, but in the New Testament, he is unwrapped and he's out in the open for us to see. In the Old Testament, he is Jesus contained in the ark, within the ark of the covenant and the covenants, but in the New Testament, he is revealed when he died on that cross in the temple, the veil in the temple was rent in twain. His salvation was revealed unto all of the world. In the Old Testament, we see him in a picture frame, but in the New Testament, we experience him in person. In the Old Testament, we see him as a shadow and as a type, but in the New Testament, we see him as substance. Someone once said that Jesus was one of a kind. The truth is that he is more than just one of a kind. You see, he's the only one. He's the only one. He's in a class all by himself. He can't be duplicated. There's no way that you could duplicate Jesus Christ. There will never be anyone else like him. He was all God and he was all man, all in the same body. He wasn't half God and he wasn't half man, as some people would say. In Colossians 2:9, it says, all the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness dwelt in him bodily. This man, Christ Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. God robed himself in flesh and came to earth as a man, and he faced temptations just like you and I face temptations. Hebrews 4:15 tells me, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived and he was tempted. Satan tempted him. Not very many times Satan comes to you personally to tempt you. I've had, I would guess, I don't know, all kinds of stupid little imps, I would suppose, of Satan try to take and tempt me and trip me up and fall, get me to fall. But I've never, I believe yet, ever had Lucifer himself come to try to tempt me. And you know, he tried to tempt Jesus. He said, look out over all. He took him up on a high mountain and said, look at all of this kingdoms. If you bow down to me and worship me, all that you see, I'll give to you. But you know what? You go all the way back into Psalms, and it says in the book of Psalms that all the earth is his. Satan couldn't give it away because Satan didn't own it. You can't give away something you don't own. God robed himself in flesh, came to earth. He faced temptation, and he overcame. Jesus was an overcomer, and you can be an overcomer. His birth was unlike any birth that the world would ever see or that the world has ever seen since that time. Isaiah prophesied 2,000 years before Christ was born and said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. There's nobody like you, Jesus. When the angel appeared to Mary, he told her, Mary, I'm going to give you a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. You see, Jesus had an earthly mother, but he had a heavenly father. He had no biologically earth father. He was one of a kind. Everyone here tonight and everyone here before Jesus and after Jesus has had a biological mother and a biological father. But Jesus was different. He had an earthly mother and a heavenly father. When Jesus walked on the earth, some of the things he did on his mother's side or on his earthly side. And other things he did on his heavenly side or his father's side. He inherited some things from both his mother and some things from his father. Now we can look at each other. And I can look across this sanctuary tonight and I can look at mothers and fathers and children. And you can tell the children of certain families because of certain physical characteristics. I look at all of my nephews, Carl and Kyle and Bryce, and they all have a certain characteristic. They're all handsome. We were helping my dad move. I kind of sidestepped that one, didn't I? I was helping my parents move a month or so back now, I guess it's been, and we were looking at some old pictures, my grandpa Wallace. And I think he died back in 1976, if I remember right. And we were looking at a picture, and we were laughing because he was a little bitty guy. And I don't know how tall he was, maybe 5'3", 5'4", at the most. I don't think he weighed much more than probably 110 pounds that I ever remember. Bald head, had a little bitty head, bald head. But, man, he had the biggest set of ears. My dad and I, we were looking at that, and Dad said, "Son, aren't you glad you didn't get Paul Wallace's ears?" I said, "You know, Dad, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it looks like two mud flaps on a Volkswagen. I mean, they just stick out there." But, you know, we get characteristics from our mothers and characteristics from our fathers. The same is true with Jesus. You see, on his mother's side, he was a son of man. On his father's side, he was a son of God. On his mother's side, he was a seed of Abraham. But on his father's side, before Abraham was, I am. On his mother's side, he was a seed of David. But on his father's side, he was a root of David. On his mother's side, he was physical. But on his father's side, he was spiritual. On his mother's side, he was mortal. But on his father's side, he was eternal. On his mother's side, he was perhaps 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet tall. We don't know. But on his father's side, he fills all of space and all of time. On his mother's side, he preached the word. But on his father's side, he was the word. On his mother's side, he walked by the shores of Galilee. But on his father's side, he walked upon the waters of Galilee. On his mother's side, he says, "I'm hungry and I need something to eat." But on his father's side, he took 5 loaves and fishes and he broke it down and he fed 5,000 people. On his mother's side, he died on the cross. But on his father's side, he arose from the grave. On his mother's side, he got his body, but on his father's side, he got his blood. On his mother's side, he was 33 years old, but on his father's side, he was the Ancient of Days. And because the blood of Jesus Christ was free from all sin and free from all contamination, his blood cleanses you and I from all sin. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation receiveth by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, as the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins." In 1 John 1:7. We sing these old songs, and we haven't heard them in a very long time, some of these songs. But it just seems to have a timeless truth when we sing the song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There's no other fountain that I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. You know, Jesus, that's why Jesus can take someone that's a streetwalker, someone prostitute on the street or a homeless person on the street and turn them from a streetwalker to a tongue talker. He can take you out of the dope pit, Brother James, and he can put you behind a pulpit and preach and minister in a CIP service. There's nobody like my Jesus. He can take you from the guttermost, from the gutters of the street and save you and to the uttermost. He can take a nobody and he can make out of them a somebody, because there's nobody like Jesus. He created us in his own image and his own likeness. The heavens declare his glory and the firmament show his handiwork. There's no definition in any language, in any dictionary, any Wikipedia, anywhere you can go where you can take and define the endless love that Jesus Christ has and the limitless love that he has for you and for me. You just can't find it, because there's nobody like Jesus. He's enduringly strong. He's empowering. He's sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's immensely powerful, and he's forever. He doesn't need us, and we can't survive without him. He stands alone. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's unmovable. He's unimpeachable. He's the supreme and preeminent. He satisfies. He provides strength for the weak, and he refreshes those that are tired, because there's nobody like my Jesus. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. That's why I'm here tonight, because he heals the sick and he cleanses the leper. He forgives sin and he delivers the captives. He's a defender of the poor and he blesses the aged. That's why Brother and Sister Irving Manley can still come in here and serve in the capacity that they serve in, because God blesses the aged. He regards the young and he rewards the diligent. He watches over the righteousness, the righteous, and he beautifies the meek. There's nobody like Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that tells me that he's the doorway of my salvation. He's the only way for deliverance in my life. He's a pathway to peace and the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory, and he's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors, and he's the head of all hosts. He's the governor above all governors and the prince above all princes. He's the widow's cruse of oil, and he was old Elijah's meat. And he was shelter for our bold brother Noah that built the ark, and God provided shelter. And he was a shepherd for the sheep, the lost children of Israel. He was the shepherd. He was a fire. The three Hebrew children, he was a fourth man in the fire, and he was a cloud by day and the fire by night to lead the Israelites along their way, because there's nobody like Jesus. He's father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow, and he's water that springs up from the desert. If your life is dead and it's dry and it needs a drink, the waters of life, he can become for you, because there's nobody like Jesus. He's the bright in the morning star. He's honey in the rock. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the expressed image of God. He's the pearl of great price. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and the governments of the world rest upon his shoulders. Psalms 23 tells us he's my rod and my staff, and he prepares a table before me in the presence. I like this. In the presence of mine enemies. That simply means you can be surrounded by your enemy. And what is Jesus Christ? What is he going to do for you? He's going to prepare a table right in the midst. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning of the end. He's the creator of all, and he's the keeper of all creation. He always was and always is and always will be. He's unmoved, unchanged. He's undefeated, and he's never, ever outdone. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. His goodness is limited, and his mercy is everlasting. His word never changes. His word never changes. His word never changes. What he put in this word, he is a keeper of his word. It never changes. His love will endure and his grace is sufficient. He's caring, he's loving, he's eternal, and he's faithful. He's great, he's holy, he's zealous, and he's jealous. He's mighty, he's merciful, he's true, he's everlasting. He reigns in peace and he reigns in righteousness. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He was bruised and through his bruising brought our healing. He was pierced for our to ease our pain. He was killed, and through his death, he brings eternal life unto mankind. He is risen. He brings power. He reigns, and he brings peace. There's nobody. There's nobody. How many of you have a friend here on earth that would come close to matching any of these? He's holy. He's righteous. He's mighty. He's pure. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's a ruler in my life. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never overlook me. He will never misguide me. And he will never forget me. And if our praise team can come, he's everything for everybody. Everywhere. And in every time and in every way. There's nobody but Jesus. If you fall, he will lift you up. I don't care how many times you fall, he will lift you up. I don't care where you fall, he will lift you up. You can fall in a bar and he will lift you up. You can fall in a porn shop and he will lift you up. You will fall wherever you fall, he will lift you up. If you're weak, you don't have to fight your battles. We can lean on him, for he is strong. If you're broke, he will mend you. If you're blind, he will lead you. If you're hungry, he will feed you. If you face trials, he'll be with you. When you face persecution, he will shield you. When you have a problem, he will comfort you. When you're facing a loss, he will provide for you. And in death, he will be with you. The world doesn't seem to understand him, and if you could stand to your feet. Armies can't defeat him. There's never been an army assembled anywhere across the world that has ever had the power to defeat Jesus Christ. Universities struggle and grapple at ways to try to explain him. World leaders want to ignore him, but they can't ignore him. You see, Pilate didn't have the power to stop him, and the Pharisees didn't have the brains and the smarts and the knowledge to take and confuse him. And Herod couldn't kill him, and death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him, because there's nobody like Jesus. He's indescribable because he's incomprehensible. He's irresistible because he's invisible. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. You can't impeach him. You can't ask him or force him to resign. You can't recall him, and you can't vote him out. There was nobody before him, and there will be nobody after him. You can travel from one side of this universe to the other, and you will find nobody. There's nobody like Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've never met Jesus Christ, and you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, being baptized in his name, taking on the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to come tonight. You may say, Brother Roy, I don't understand all of this. Are you struggling in your life and your troubles are so far beyond your abilities to solve, you can't solve them? I know someone who can. Because there's nobody. There's nobody. There's nobody.
Nobody greater than
like Jesus. How many of you have experienced Jesus tonight? If you're here and you haven't experienced Jesus, I invite you up to the front. If your life has just overwhelmed you and you can't find a way to get out, right here in the middle, I want you to come. And we have people that will pray with you and pray for you. If you need a healing in your body.